Avellino!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just
Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
You were not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
All right, we continue on here with the final hour of the Brock and Salk Show. We'll come back, talk some more baseball in about 30 minutes, and got a few other things left to get to today, Brock. But 2 weeks from this coming Thursday?
Yeah, a week.
No, that can't be right.
It's like a week from Thursday.
1 week from this coming Thursday?
10 days.
That's insane. We can't possibly be that close to the draft, could we?
Yeah.
10 days away, which means we're running out of time for Brock's draft profiles.
The Seattle Seahawks select.
This is Brock Heward's draft profile.
You want traits? Check. You want a vocal leader? Check.
At the end of the day, you have to say, okay, what's best for the organization?
Can you make people around you better? And can you bring people together?
Every day at 9 a.m. leading up to the draft.
Salky, last Thursday from Stillwater, Oklahoma, I dropped a little Cooper DeJean on you, the linebacker, the nickel, the corner. I think he played every snap last year at corner for Iowa, and I just talked about him kind of being a jack of all trades. Then when you look at Mike McDonald's system and what he's asking for, and kind of that Hamilton player, Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore, just a difference maker that is positionless. Certainly, Cooper DeJean is the top guy on that board and on maybe in this entire draft in that regard. Behind him, and a guy that has just been creeping and creeping and creeping, is safety Cole Bishop out of the Utah University. University of Utah. 6'2", 206 pounds, and put on an absolute show at the combine. One of those guys that you hear scouts say this, GMs say this. We take what they do at the combine, and if we're blown away, and we looked at a guy going into it, and we gave him this kind of grade, and we gave him this kind of athleticism, and we, you know, off the game tape, we gave him this, and all of a sudden, there's something. Either way, whether he performs terribly or he just blows up, that now we've got to go back and let's make sure we do our homework. Let's dot our I, let's cross our T, let's watch that game tape, and let's see if maybe, upon further review, that is why Cole Bishop was so productive. That's why he was back-to-back leading tackler for the Utes. That's why he was team captain. Because he ran 4.45 at the combine. And 6'2", 205, that is blazing. A 1.5210, that is blazing. A 39-inch vertical, that is extraordinary. So maybe the reason that he had in his career, I don't know, 197 tackles, the reason why he had a bunch of tackles for loss, 21 and a half tackles for loss, the reason why he had 7.5 sacks, the reason why he was so productive at and behind the line of scrimmage is he's that kind of juice to work with. He has that kind of athleticism. I've seen Cole Bishop all 3 years. He came in and started as a true freshman at Utah. You know what's hard to do at safety at Utah? Start as a true freshman because they demand a lot. He was originally committed out of Peachtree City, Georgia to Duke. Smart dude. High intellectual capacity and acumen, and then all of a sudden looked at it, and I remember asking Morgan Scully and Kyle Whittingham, how did you get a guy from Peachtree City, Georgia, who was committed to Duke, come all the way out to Salt Lake City? And he was like, well, he studied us, and he actually kind of reached out to us, and as he kind of blew up and really grew into his frame as his last year of high school, was like, no, I want to go there. They know how to produce safeties. They know how to produce defensive players. I want to go play for them. And boy, has he played. Second team all-conference last year really doesn't tell the story. The number and the level of production for the team captain on that side of the ball for Utah does. Ask Jim Nagy, that head of the Senior Bowl. Ask Jim Nagy right now who his biggest climber is heading into this draft in 10 days. On a very short list will be Cole Bishop. Because those numbers were extraordinary. The instincts are off the charts. And you want a guy that can play safety. You want a guy that can play nickel. You want a guy that can blitz. You want a guy that can cover tight ends. You want a guy that can cover people in the slot. You want a very interchangeable, positionless guy, Salk. And with a couple safeties on short-term deals, you want to find that next great safety. Cole Bishop, maybe in that third round, gives you that kind of opportunity. Over the next 8 days, I'll start to, you know, project guys more in that first round range, second round range. Cole is still probably in that third round range. I don't think he climbs all the way up into the end of the second. He's probably a third rounder, but man, there is a lot to like from the safety out of the University of Utah.
All right, that is another Brock draft profile. Will you help me out with something?
Yes.
Because unfortunately, and this is unfair, and I recognize its unfairness, because the mistakes of one person should not be in any way attributed to the next.
Marquise Blair.
It's hard for me to like, because Marquise Blair was such a disappointment.
He was, and he was so full of snap and rage and power. And when he hit you, he cut you in half. But he just didn't bring the other side of it. He just didn't bring the just processing and the quick functioning. And, you know, he got it kicked around with a few other teams. And I'm surprised, frankly, I haven't seen him in the UFL or some of these spring leagues. I think his body also, a couple knee injuries, and just body got beat up with the style of play that he brought. But, yeah, you can't let the sins of one former player or one draft pick get in the way of this guy, because they are totally, totally different players.
Hard
totally
not
different
to.
Players.
It's really hard not to.
It is.
It's really hard when you say Utah safety, and I know you like both of their safeties.
I do like both their safeties. It's Rocky, the other one.
It's really hard when you're just like, oh man, because that Marquise Blair one is going to sit with me for a little while. He's one of the most disappointing picks they've had. Like, based on how well I thought he was going to do versus what actually happened. Oh, what a crushing, crushing pick that ended up being. So, all right, there you go. We are 10 days away from the NFL draft. That is truly amazing. And the Seahawks have one very clear, obvious draft need. The only thing is, it's not quite as clear and obvious as it was last week. We'll tell you why next and everything you need to know. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know.
Another series, Brock, that it goes by the wayside without the Mariners. They won a series yet this year. Fairly remarkable considering where they're at in the season. They've yet to win a single series. They certainly had their opportunities in this one. One game won. Game two, they flat out didn't hit. Okay, you lose game two. But game three yesterday, you had a real chance to win that rubber match. Yep. Certainly with bases loaded, down a run, no one out in the eighth inning, that was your chance.
Now the stretch and the 2-2 on the way to tie. Swinging a chopper up the middle. Charging the shortstop. Swanson steps on the bag for one. The throw to first, and it's in time for the inning ending 6-3 double play. The ground ball by France took Dansby Swanson right to the bag at second for the force on Polanco. The throw to first to double up tie France, and that will end the inning. The Mariners had the bases loaded with one out, and they could not score.
Brutal, man. Just a brutal way for that game to go. Julio getting picked off to end the game was just the icing on the cake. That was a tough loss yesterday.
Yeah, that's the one that stings. You got to start winning series. You don't have to sweep series. You certainly don't want to get swept. But you got to, at some point, Salky, start to win series. You're fortunate that Texas is scuffling a little bit. They're sitting there right at 500 at 8-8. So this has not been, you know, the challenge that you had last year. Remember that start they got off to in April and May and just started to run away from everybody and eventually closed that gap and got right there next to him down the stretch of the season. But that's been so much of the conversation. Just start a little faster. Last couple years, these Aprils have put you behind the eight ball, put you in that game of pitfall, fall in that pit, and you got to climb up, and you have the last 2 years. You've climbed out of it. Would certainly like to get it going and winning a series with the Reds coming to town tonight. Winning a series is the best way to do that.
It certainly would be. Some good news. Luis Castillo looked pretty good yesterday, which they really needed to see him miss bats, which is what he was able to do. On the other hand, The top home run hitter on the team so far, Dominic Canzone, is going to go to the IL. He injured his shoulder, appears to be a sprained AC joint after crashing into the wall yesterday. Young Jonathan Classe is going to take his spot. Guy can really run. We'll see if he can do anything else at a major league level. But the one thing you know he can do is run. So hopefully they'll find a way to utilize some of that speed, as they have not really stolen many bases so far this year.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
We do have a veteran guard, Brock. The Seahawks have found themselves a veteran guard, something they certainly needed to find. Lakin Tomlinson has been around, was drafted in Detroit, spent some time in San Francisco, then with the Jets, and he's good.
He is. He was a first-round draft pick coming out of Duke. He was a big monster of a man way back then. Golly, and I think if we went back in the archives, if they're still around and they weren't deleted, I bet we could find a Laken Tomlinson draft profile. Because guess what? 10 years ago, we were still talking about the offensive line. 10 years later, we're still talking about the offensive line. We knew that one of these veteran guards, Cody Whitehair, Ben Roten, Greg Van Roten, or Laken Tomlinson, all of them had been through the building. You figured one of those three were ultimately going to get signed. How they finally settled on him and the back and forth. Again, looks like a one-year deal. By the way, I mean, they have spent all of their money. I think based on over the cap, they're about $1.2 million. That is not enough for what they're going to do in this draft. So they're going to have to, you know, move some money around, some dollars around. But if you're wondering about budget and spending and how are they going to do it, no. They have spent. The other good news is he was released. So this does not count against any of the compensatory picks, which they will have not in this upcoming draft, but in 2025 as well.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
The machine, Scottie Scheffler, just doing his thing. It's a funky-looking machine. It's got a bit of a hitch in the foot. But other than that, it strikes the ball perfectly every single time. And if it happens to miss a green, it's got ridiculously soft hands and a tremendous short game. The putter generally has been the only problem, and it had no problems this weekend, Brock. Scottie Scheffler was phenomenal. He got pushed, certainly. I mean, Oberg gave it a run. Homa gave it a run. Morikawa gave it a run. But one by one, they all fell by the wayside as he wins his second Masters in 3 years.
So does he get another green jacket?
I don't know how that works. I think so, yeah. I think you get a second green jacket.
You think he now has two green jackets? You think Jack's got five of them through the year? Do you think the style has changed?
I think Jack has six.
Jack has six?
Yeah. Tiger's got five. Jack's got six. Yeah.
Yeah, that course fits his eye, man, and that grind, whether it was the windy conditions.
The question I have, hold on that, is before, like, did they take your measurements just when you make the Masters so that they have something ready for you?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Probably by laser as well, if I know that place.
Laser
measurements. Wow. So they know, exactly what they're dealing with and get that thing suited and booted in a hurry, man.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have any Cody Barton jackets. We're just going to say that.
No.
Remember Cody Barton's picture at Utah?
Poor guy. Poor guy. When you said that, I was thinking to myself, Cody. I was trying to remember who that was. Is there a golfer named Cody Barton who is not worthy of a jacket?
No, like, that was the old linebacker. Yeah. They had like a size 54 jacket on. He looked like a tiny, looked like Beetlejuice in it.
Yeah, wasn't a good look for him, unfortunately.
You know what else is kind of crazy? That's everything you need to know. The draft tonight, too, by the way.
WNBA draft.
Going to get to watch Caitlin and some of the other picks behind them. And where old Angel Reese ends up and some of the other picks will be kind of fun to watch tonight. You know that contraption they have? And it's a little tough because I watched them hook somebody up to Rory McIlroy's swing.
Seen this. Yes.
You've seen that, right?
It's unbelievable, yeah.
It is. Yeah.
So for people who don't know, basically it's a machine where you put yourself in it, you hold on to the golf club, and the machine moves your body by moving the club into the exact right spots. But you can also do it where you you mimic a pro golfer
swing. Yes.
And this poor guy trying to do Rory, it looked he had was going to bend in half.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were out there on the home course a couple times, right, over the weekend?
Yep.
Can you imagine if you took 100 of those guys of all different shapes and sizes and ages and they had to do the full body Scheffler swing? How many patella tendons?
Oh, you couldn't do it.
Achilles, hips. How many people would get hurt trying to simulate just his force that he creates in his legs and feet? I mean, it's just insane.
It's so ugly.
When you watch it in slow motion, it's absurd.
It's also funny. So you sent out I saw your tweet about it. That was his comments, right, about his buddies keeping him in line, right?
Yeah.
So I think I told you this is a few years ago. This is, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, right? Before, maybe right after, he had done pretty well at the PGA Championship and ended up falling in that one. Mm-hmm. I think that was the one Morikawa won. I played Chambers with his roommates. Like, I was just down there and picked up with, you know, two or three random people. And I believe two of them were Scotty's roommates in Texas. They were up for the weekend. They were really good golfers. That guy basically drove the green on 16. It was insane how good they were.
Yeah.
But I was like asking them about Scotty because I'd watched him a little bit. And they're like, he's the nicest guy in the world. Like, he just is a totally normal dude. We all live together. And he's... you wouldn't know that he's the like breadwinner slash professional golfer because he's just like everybody else. So,
and I think he's made $12 million to start this season.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. That'll be just fine. All right. We had a conversation on Friday, Brock, that you missed out on, and I think I need to bring you into it because John Schneider said something on Thursday that when you hear it may change the way you view the entirety of this draft. It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Yeah, Brock, I got sound that you've got to hear. We played this and reacted to it quite a bit on Friday.
Okay.
And you weren't here. So I'd like you to react to this, but I know you got some other stuff going on.
I do. For my birthday, I just have a request because we got really smart people to listen to our show. You know, as Colin Cowherd would always say, Seattle market, smart people, smart fan base, need smart coaches. We got smart listeners. We heard from some of them last hour. Some we agreed with, some we largely disagreed with, but that's okay as well. So on this morning, on my birthday, I'm getting, you know, some really nice, loving texts from family and friends. But I got one from a number that I don't recognize. Now, the challenge is I can't just say who dis, because as I'm looking at the text, there was a response I gave earlier, acting then like I knew who this person was. So if you've already interacted and you can't say new phone, who dis, what is a way that I can go about trying to just, you know, say something, ask something?
This is simple. Go to your text, the last one you responded.
Yes.
Look at the exact date. Go to your calendar. See where you were. Look at your search that date in your phone, even on your camera roll. See if you can see a picture from where you were.
Whoa.
And you're gonna be like, okay, well, I was at this field
Brock
at this time.
I don't think Brock uses his phone the way you do.
I think there's no chance
Brock will have anything like that in the calendar.
There's no chance of that at all.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
That's a great tip for somebody at your age.
Yeah.
But Brock,
simple.
As you know, turned 48 today. There's no chance that all of that is in his phone.
No, you're right, Justin. For you and your 30-somethings. Very simple.
It's a really good idea.
Where in your calendar that day?
Yeah. No.
Brock's never used his calendar. He doesn't have any idea what's in that thing.
No, but didn't Brock say he didn't know who it was the last time he responded too? He can tell by his response.
Yeah, no, I did, but I didn't. You know, then I should have used the who dis. Sorry, new phone.
Right.
That's where I screwed this up. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get out of the mess that I've created.
You can do it anyway. Just say it. Just say, I'm sorry. Who is this?
Well, they said they just saw me this weekend.
So?
Well, that's a problem.
You know what, though? I've done that. And like Andrew Brandt did that to me at some point, and I was like, hey, it's Salk. And it was fine. He was like, I don't know why I didn't have your number in here. And then it was fine.
I know.
Dude, just own up to it. You know what's the best policy is?
I mean, Salk's talked to someone that he thought was an entirely different person because he names mixed up in his phone.
And literally said their name in the text.
Yeah.
So, make mistakes, Brock. You should just ask who it is. I'm sure it will work out fine. Plus, now I'm invested in this. I'm a little curious to know who it is who's texting you. Can I play you the sound? This is from John Schneider on Thursday on with Wyman and Bob. He was asked about bringing Spencer Rattler and Bo Nix in for 30 visits. And it's a 33-second clip. The first 30 seconds are neither here nor there. The last 3 to 5 seconds are very interesting.
Yeah, no, we don't study quarterbacks. Just because we've only drafted two, I get it.
Yeah.
We want to get to know these guys a little bit better and spend time with them. And Spencer's a real impressive guy, and so is Bo. And we just wanted to be able to spend a little bit more time with those guys, have the coaches be able to spend more time with them on the board. And, yeah, you want to cautious of their time as well. They're out here on West Coast visits, so try to set those up when they're, you know, visiting the Rams, the Chargers, the Niners, and try to fit those in. And we love Sam. We love what we did, being able to acquire Sam. You know, we talked about the age. He's got the experience, but that doesn't preclude us from, you know, what we do in the draft.
Oh, hello. We like Sam. We like the age. We like the experience, but it doesn't preclude us from doing something else in the draft. What do you hear there?
Well, we say this about old Johnny every time about this period in the calendar year where he says things that you better sit up and listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of other, you know, words in there and word salad in there and lots of other conversations. But over the years, when you look back in the rearview mirror, you're like, well, that's what he said he was going to do. And that's what they went and did. So you better listen to him. And I think what I hear in that is that if a Penix, if a Nix, if a somebody falls to such a place where they become a tremendous value for us, we better have done our homework and pull the trigger. They know Penix better than anybody else in this draft does. They do. They know a bunch of these college guys in some ways better than some of their peers. Mike McDonald game planned against them, and certainly the coaches on that Michigan staff that are now here played against many of these guys, and they've got great, great intel and great background on all of them, Salk. And I think what I read into those final words is be careful saying that the Seahawks are totally out on that position. We're never out on any position, really. Well, that's just not the way that we operate. We've got to do all of our due diligence, got to do all of our homework. And if the right deal comes across our plate and that guy is sitting there at the right spot for us, Sam Howell's acquisition is not going to get in the way if we find that value that we love at that spot in the draft.
When you say that about Penix, what do you think that looks like? I mean, could that be 16?
I wouldn't think that's 16. I really, really wouldn't. You want to talk about kind of a game-changing conversation for you and I? Selfishly? You want to talk about taking a swing?
Right.
Selfishly? You want to talk about, whoa, this one right here, more than any other pick in this draft, could really change so much of where this build is and what you're doing. Take Michael Penix at 16, and you'd, I think, put all that on its head. Right? I mean, it would really, really, there's not another move or acquisition or anything you would do in the draft.
I mean, even trading DK. Maura asked me how I would feel if they were to draft Penix at 16. Right? Isn't this how you'd feel? I know Maura doesn't like music, but this is... There's no song. Yeah, you don't like music. It's fine. There's no song that better sums up how you would feel in that moment if they were to take a quarterback at 16, right?
Oh, oh, oh. Is that the song that Maura did the first time she was late, by the way?
No.
Oh, no, that was Stop, Drop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can only think of one other song that would be that good.
That is a good one, yes. I'm glad you got that one in there. Thanks, thank you. Yeah, that was important today.
That would be, there would be ruckus in the little draft room. Even Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton would look at me like they already do on draft day anyway. Like, what is wrong with you? Mm. You are just out of control and you talk so fast and you interrupt us. And I'd appreciate it if you would just slow down. If that were to happen, I would probably jump on that table. I'd probably headbutt Wyman.
Why?
I'd probably headbutt Wyman.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, just because it'd be just euphoria. It'd be great.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I'd be excited. I'd give it a let's go, but I don't think I'd want to headbutt anybody over it. That feels pretty extreme.
Maybe that's a little bit
okay
much.
Good,
and he's got a lot harder head than I do, so maybe, yeah, but I got a bigger like surface well area, I think, so yeah. I don't know, it'd be quite a little that would be an awesome move. Could I see that happening at 16? I don't think so.
Why?
Because Geno is here, because Sam Howell is here, because those acquisitions have been made, that foundation has been laid, and at 16, I don't think that's the value proposition that it would be at 29, that it would be at 44. So tomorrow, I've got a few more of these friends of mine that have started to text me this morning where they think Penix is going to get picked.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, let's do it at, I don't know, 7:30. Well, passing at 8:30 tomorrow, maybe 8 o'clock, 7:30 or 8 tomorrow, I will give you my full rundown of my draft guru buddies and where they see Penix getting picked. Mm-hmm. And it is anywhere from 13 to 44.
All right, but if there's he's in that range, in Brock, and if you think he's an actual game changer?
Rich Eisen, who said it to us and has continued to double down on that and thinks he's going to go before 16 in this draft. So we'll do that tomorrow, Salk. But yeah, if Penix were to be one of these guys that falls, and all of a sudden he's sitting there in the second round, now we're having
you don't have a pick in the second round.
Schneider from Bob and Dave on
You don't have a pick in the second round.
Now we're replaying those words where we say, yep, this does not preclude us from getting something done at that position if the value is right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think if you look at a player and you believe that they are worthy of being a top pick, you make it, whether it's at 16 or at what, 20, whatever, man. Like, if you think he's a franchise quarterback, you don't wait. You don't worry about value. Mm. Either you think he's a franchise quarterback or you don't. Mm. And I don't know. Like, I
so you overdraft?
If it's for a franchise quarterback that you believe in, yeah. Because there's no such thing. Mm. There's no such thing as overdrafting for a franchise quarterback, right? Like, if you truly believe that's what he is, then you take him. If you don't think that's what he is, then don't worry about it and move on. And, you know, unfortunately, this isn't the year to get your guy.
What if you think he's the 20th best player, 25th on your board, and he's sitting there at 40? You don't think he's necessarily a franchise player, but the value at that point
that's
is
fine
just
if you have a pick at 40, but you don't.
Well, you can come back up into 40. You trade next year's second and next year's third and everything else.
I'm not trading up all that crap for value. I'm doing all that because there's a player that I've identified for a specific reason. Mm. Not just because he's fallen too far. We've got to come up for it. Either you love him or you don't. And if you love him, you love him. And if you don't love him, that's fine. I don't care. I mean, John Schneider's the one doing the evaluation, not me. Mm-hmm. But if you love him, go get him. And if not, so be it. Move on and build the other things up that you need to do on your team to get better.
Yeah, they just have, as we know, a lot of other needs on this team, and especially at that line of scrimmage, which is just as much a priority, Salk, as the quarterback position is. I do think, honestly, the one guy that over these 20-some years of doing this and being around it, I guess this would even be more than 20 years, is Steve Hutchinson. Mm. And kudos to Mike Holmgren at that time and that front office that said, Steve Hutchinson's too good. I know we don't need a guard or anything, but I mean, he is just too good a player here. We are not going to pass up on him. And there was a lot of debate in that room because guess what, Saul? 23 years ago, 24 years ago, you did not take guards in the first round. There was a stigma on guards, and guards a guard. You can get a guard anywhere, and they weren't paid what they are paid today. Mm-hmm. And they were like, this dude is just too good. Sorry, we're just not going to do it. We're just not going to pass up. Could that be Michael Penix 16? I mean, you talk about shockwaves. You talk about shockwaves that would be kind of very different than everything we've heard over these 3 months, and even that Sam Howell move. When that move was made, I'm like Michael Bumpus, I kind of put the hay in the barn. I'm like, once they made that move, like the Penix, the Knicks, these guys come off the board. And you certainly are not going to go climb up into the top 10, and you don't even have the assets and the resources to do it. So right. I kind of put that one night-night. Right? The old Steph Curry little night-night right there once that move was made. Hmm. You want to talk about, some pretty big shockwaves that you would send? Yeah. Take one of those guys whose last name ends in X, yep. Take him at 16, and you have a whole different conversation.
We are 10 days away from the draft, which also means, Brock, we're about 10 days away from the big race. How are you feeling about my race against Mora? We are running a 200-meter mm-hmm. dash. Mm-hmm. We're looking for the right venue, so if anybody has any thoughts on where we should run this race.
We still have not found the venue yet.
No, we talked about doing Roosevelt or one of the high school tracks, yep. But they're in school. I mean, like, we're going to do it while they're in school. It doesn't seem appropriate to just be, like, walking around their field while they're in school. Okay. So I don't think we're going to do that.
Get arrested on the day of the draft.
Yeah, I don't need that in my life. So we're not, I don't know.
Wait, could we go to your daughter's school and they could come out and watch and get the whole class? And
Oh
no. Actually, no. Neither of them has a track, unfortunately.
Sure.
I hate to break it to you. Yeah, sure. Neither of my daughter's schools have tracks. So that's not going to work.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. UW, do they have anything? Do they have track at UW?
They got a great track, yeah. Very nice. You might have to climb the chain link fence. This is maybe where you and Taran and Bird.
Okay, so you don't think we could get access to it?
I don't know, maybe.
You don't know anybody over there?
I think I do.
Okay.
I think I know one of the associate ADs. Okay. I think I know the new AD.
Do you think that there's a possibility we could get over there and run?
I think there could be a strong possibility of that.
That would be interesting, mm-hmm. certainly. Is that indoor or outdoor?
What do you think about just the old Seahawk facility? What do you think about getting on the field there before the draft?
Well, they don't have a track there.
You mean run 100 yards, touch a line, come back 100 yards? Is that what I'm talking about.
Oh, so you want to do it as more of a gasser
type
of thing.
That's kind of what I'm talking about. Like run 100, touch the line.
That's not what I was prepared for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. It's not, I feel like it would be unfair to Moore. Think about how low she has. Like for her to get from her height all the way down to the line, to touch the line.
That's two sprints now. That's not.
And people already say that she's sort of a cheater. So, I mean, think of the number of ways she could cheat. If that were the case,
I would like to do a track.
Track?
Okay, fine. Terrain and Bird wants a track. Yep. Okay, so I'll put a few texts out to the UW. I'll talk to my people over there, and we'll see if we can get that. Okay.
We got to see if we can make this happen.
It just doesn't function the same way when you stop and have to turn around. And
Brock, what about the elevated track inside the athletic facility?
I think that they don't have that up full time. Okay. That only comes out for indoor track meets. So that one would be a little bit more of a challenge.
Okay.
Cool, though.
Yeah, that would be cool. No, I think we do it on the outdoor track at the old UW.
What if it's raining?
Well, I don't think I
can be expected to run in the rain. I mean, I only have there's certain things that I feel like would be
equipment.
I've run in the rain before.
Do you have, exactly. Yep. You've trained for this in a way that I have not. Yep. I didn't say anything about running in the rain.
Running in the rain is actually quite refreshing.
For the record, 61 and sunny is the expected weather
like
outlook
a rocky
for next Thursday.
Training montage out of you, Sulk.
All right. Well, we'll see that. Goes. Okay. We're getting closer
Sprigs.
to the big date.
How
big
can
race.
We get here?
I can read my guy Sulk after all these years.
Yeah.
You're feeling just fine.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're feeling
I think
just,
I was the one who made this. Yeah, fine. That's how this started. It's because I was like, yeah, I'll crush you. And I still feel that way.
Yeah.
I'll absolutely destroy you in a 200-meter race. I'm not worried about
Which
it even a little
bit.
Which
makes me oddly nervous. I'm like, does he have this sneaky speed I don't know about? Yeah. He's so confident.
Yes, I do. That's exactly what I have.
Okay.
I have a sneaky speed that you don't know about, that you're not expecting,
okay.
And it's going to end up biting you when it's all said and done next Thursday when I smoke you out there on whatever track we happen to find.
We'll
right
see.
Now, let's rank.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
As you know, Brock, today is your birthday.
Happy birthday to
right?
Happy birthday
today
to
is your birthday.
Happy
48 years young today.
Gosh, that feels old.
It does. Very close to 50.
Not as old as 50.
No, but getting dangerously close to it.
50 is going to be hard.
Yeah. 40 was hard. I remember when you turned 40. I remember when I turned 40. Anyway, we're getting old. With that in mind, Brock, with your birthday being today, here are the top five things I love about Brock.
Oh,
wow.
Top five
is this for
things.
Real?
Huh?
Is this for real?
Yeah. Why okay. wouldn't it be for real?
I don't know
real?
If I'm prepared for this.
What do you mean? Why not?
Oh, he's going to cry.
Brock and I
were... I think I'm getting too old for this stuff.
Brock and I were on the
cry,
phone
cry,
with each
cry,
other
cry,
on Friday.
Grandma.
We were both crying on the phone on Friday.
Yes.
Brock was telling me his whole story about Macy committing to Oklahoma State. He's crying. I'm crying. It was ridiculous. How sad was that? That was the
zombies.
Most embarrassing thing we've done in a while.
Yes.
Just chatting on the phone, just crying.
Adorable?
Not really. It wasn't really adorable. It was pretty lame.
Yeah, we're both like, are you crying right now?
Yeah, I'm crying. Yeah. Me too.
I'm just cutting onions in the hotel.
Well, let me tell you something. I turned 95 years old.
There you go. That could be Brock.
Cry, baby.
I mean, there's some funny little things, little honorable mentions, things I love about you. Honestly, one of my favorite little things about you is that when you call, if you don't answer, you still get age 10 Haley on your voicemail.
I know.
It's not just that it's that old that, you know, it's ridiculous. It's that she's saying, my dad is so busy right now doing one thing or another, or any of his jobs. It's his entire answering machine voicemail is just a full-on humble brag about how busy and cool he is. It is the funniest thing in the world. I love it. Sometimes I call times where I know Brock won't answer just to hear how ridiculous that answering machine message is. No, I'm going to dig right into a top five for you, Brock. You ready?
Okay.
Number five. Five things that I love about Brock. I love how you are an instigator. You will instigate with anybody.
Yes, I will.
And some of that comes out in like little practical jokes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just the way you just needle people and get right to the heart of what might bother them. Sometimes it's the way you can get two people paired off against each other. You do have a special gift.
Yeah.
If Vizzini's job in The Princess Bride was to start a war between Gilda and... whatever the other company was or the other country was, you sort of have that same gift. You could start a war.
Yeah,
if
I wonder if
to.
That is a birth order thing. I wonder if that's a middle child.
Sounds like it.
I wonder if there's other middle children out there. Are you and you've got kids right now. You're like, oh, yep, that's my middle. And then throw in lefty, throw in sensitive, throw in awkward, throw in a lot of other things. And by the way, did I do that unintentionally Saturday night during my UFL game? I did.
Probably.
Yeah, Skip Holtz came over, and he was kind of giving Adrian Martinez the business a little bit. Not even that harshly, because they were ahead. I'm like, Skip, dude has 400 yards of total offense. And he was like, do you think I care about total offense? Like, yeah, he just got all wired right there. And, yeah, so I'll instigate every once in a while.
A lot of text messages, by the way. Bro, 200 meters? I don't see Salk making it past 100.
Ooh.
My money's on Mora all day.
Jeez.
Salk's going to pop a hammy in the 200.
People want you to go to UW, though.
Yeah, or West Seattle. That track's really nice. We've been down there for Cecily to do track.
If you pop an Achilles or pop a hamstring.
Oh, it'd be so embarrassing. Be terrible. All right.
Salk said it doesn't hurt, though.
Huh?
Salk, we've heard you say it doesn't hurt.
The hamstring hurts.
The hamstring, but not the Achilles.
I think the Achilles doesn't hurt, yeah. All right, number four, things I love about Brock. I love when you just use the wrong words. I love it every day.
I know.
It never fails to make me smile, and it's constant. It's a constant.
Have you heard the name Freddie Mercury?
I have. Yeah.
Freddie Mercury. He's friends with Mozart.
You know what the first one was, by the way? I think year one, I think the first one was Maniacal.
Yes.
Maniacal. That's
That was an early Brock one.
That was a... You looked at me like I had... Maniacal. And I was like, did I just say something inappropriate? What?
Yeah, it's not Maniacal.
No, it's not Maniacal.
Yeah, it's like Maniacta. Maniacal. Yeah.
Mozart.
Yeah. What was the... what's the one that you now pronounce incorrectly on purpose? The Deion Sanders one? Gosh, there's so many.
Or would you use both hands?
Amphibious.
Yeah.
Totally.
So whether it's using the wrong word, saying it the wrong way, or your accidental sexual innuendo, all of those are now put into one big category.
What makes Michael Penix?
It's a tough one. That's number four. All right.
Hey, you put yourself out there. That's what happens.
Number three is just your flat-out commitment, whether it's to being a father, whether it's to work, whether it's to your draft profiles, whether it's to a bit, whatever it is, Brock is as committed a person. When he's in, he is all in on whatever it is. Again, marriage, fatherhood, friendship, work. Brock is one religion. Brock is one committed dude.
Training the boys up.
That's actually in categories four. Uh-oh. Yeah, that manages this little crossover between numbers three and four. I still can't shake the image of Salk running with his chin tucked down. All right, that's unnecessary. Is Salk going to shave all his hair like a swimmer so he runs fast?
Oh, boy.
What if I were to order on Amazon the, what was the one where Michael J. Fox turned into a werewolf?
Teen Wolf.
What if I were to order you the Teen Wolf basketball get up?
Yeah, that's just what I have to run in. It's a good play, man. I'm running to win this thing. I don't need any. I'm going to run in Jason Day's pants from the Masters to slow me down and make it fair for Mora. All right. Number two, Brock, your curiosity and conversational style. I have often said that even if we didn't do this show every day, I would still choose to just chat with Brock for at least some time during every day and kind of go over many of the same things we talk about here on the show. I enjoy it. Brock's a great conversationalist when he's not nodding, which we took care of in the first few months of the show. And your curiosity about the sports world and the world around you is one of my favorite things about you. And it's probably great. Greater at 48 than it was at 38 or 33 when we first met. Is that true? You were 33 years old, 32 years old when we met.
Gosh, young, strapping.
That's insane.
Stud. You fell in love with me at that workout we did in Arizona. Yeah, and you realized, like, you actually were an athlete.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
I was always here just making fun of Brock, like, whatever. He's a backup quarterback. That guy never played. And then we went down and worked out together in Phoenix, and Brock was tossing weight around. I was like, this is a totally different thing than I was expecting. That's what a pro athlete looks like.
Brock Ewart is my hero.
You sure are.
Thanks, Al.
And then number one, Brock, you are truly, without a doubt, the kindest, most genuine human I know. I don't know anybody more genuine than you. So thank you for that. Thank you for being my partner for all these 15 years. I told these guys that I went to the service event on Thursday night, went to Scott's event, and I can't tell you how many people came up to me just to ask questions about you. So I have spent 15 years being your caddy here on this show, and it's worked out great for me. Thank you for all that you do. Happy birthday.
I'm a words of affirmation guy, so thank you very much. One of my love languages. And that's, once again, gets into my weird innuendo, probably number four, because you hate Love Tank and any of that stuff that I do.
They fill that sucker up.
Well, let's be very clear. I am old, and I am basic. Yes, I am.
Salk should run in huge pants at MC Hammer War. Yeah, basically what Jason Day was wearing this weekend. Those are ridiculous. A lot of people wondering if Brock's dying. No, he's just 48.
Yeah.
One may follow the other. You
might
never
know. Might as well just
know.
Do the eulogy now.
He's a year closer. All right, no. We got to get out of here. Bump and Stacy are coming up next. Jeff Passan will join us tomorrow morning. Hopefully the Mariners can get this thing turned in the right direction at some point. We'll see. George Kirby on the Hill tonight. We'll see you guys at 6 a.m. Until then, the hay.
And remember, Julio's hitting a bomb on my birthday tonight.
There we go.
Barn.
See everybody. Happy birthday, Brock.
Thank you.
Get to the chopper!
Love you.